Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm here, man. Are y'all ready for the fire talk? Slow down on the biz and uplift the dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and right along. This is straight off the press, the remix, fresh with no prior song.
Oh.
Supplying y'all with the certified thoughtful.
Yeah.
To get the piece to the feet, it's time to call blows.
Yeah.
The rasp everywhere is fragrant, flavorful. Insatiable eardrums, taste the radio.
Here can't be beat, the class you meet.
Better leave all your doors and all half the week.
What?
Positive and motivational strategy. Successful guests promote yourself massively. BlogTalkRadio.com/ The remix Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Support the sister with a great reason. I must insist, don't miss it this evening. Peace, man.
Everyone, I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to The Remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue, and you know where you are. You are live in The Remix. I want to say welcome, 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 everyone, to the forum tonight. It is so good to see you guys in the house tonight. It is Friday night. It is November the 9th, 2012. And it's remix time, and I am your host, of course, Miss Blue. I want to give out the call-out number, and that's going to be 646-652-2711 is the number to call for the call-in number as well. So good to see you guys in the house tonight, joining us here live in the forum, as always, in the remix. What a busy week it's been. I don't know about you guys, but this week has been pretty busy and also going by very, very fast. I want to say welcome to all of our international listeners out there, because I know you guys are listening from all over the world, and it's always so good to have you in the forum and to have you guys here. So I want to give a big shout out to our listeners out there in Japan, the brother Mark and his family out there, as well as all of you listening from the UK, Amsterdam, holding it down there, as well as you guys listening all the way. Let's kind of jump over to New England in the States, because I got some emails from you guys up in the New England area, and it's good to hear from you, and I know you guys are here in the States, as well as you guys listening from all over. So whether it's Australia, whether it's Berlin, whether it's France, Belize, Spain, Italy, all parts of Africa, China, and also even parts of Seoul, Korea listening. It's good to have all the family here live in the remix tonight. I want to go ahead and give you some directions. We're going to have some fun tonight, you guys. Plus, we're going to do some recapping. We're going to kind of get ourselves a little centered as we get into the share tonight. And that's always so cool to do. The first thing that I want to say to you is I want just to welcome you guys, as always. I want to give out the phone number one more time. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Lock it in. Put it in your phone. It won't change. Better than locking it in, if you have an Android phone or a smartphone, just take yourself over to the Android market and type in Miss Blue, the remix, and you're going to see the logo there, and you can download the logo app. It was a gift that I've given to you guys, and I think now it may be almost about 2 years since that app has been out. And it's been used all over the world, and not only will it keep you directly connected with us here in the remix, but also the Know Your Magic line, as well as if you want to send some email to me directly, you can do that straight from the app. And even when it opens, you get to hear my voice. How cool is that? And that was my gift to you guys. So if you don't have that app on your phone, you need to get yourself over to the Android market, and you need to do that right now on your smartphone. All things remix, all things as we do here and have been doing for so long. So good to be here, everyone, Friday night. The chat room is open. And so if you're listening, I also invite you to come on over and join us in the chat room as well. Let me give you some cosmic direction so you can find your way here. All you have to do is go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Remix, all one word. and click on it right there and just come in. If you're a guest and you're joining us for the very first time, welcome. It's so good to have you here. And know that all you have to do is click the link at the very bottom that says sign up. Takes about 2 minutes. Sign up, tell us who you are, and come on in and participate with the Remix family here in chat. So, as you guys know, last week on the show, we closed out the week with the Forgotten Foods. Amazing brother and sister, Kara and brother Baratunde, came by to share all of their amazing things. We're going to continue this energy because tonight we have Mr. Anderson of I Grow, You Grow, and he's really going to be dropping some magical gems about spirituality and the plant kingdom. We've got a lot of subjects we're going to be covering here tonight and a lot of things that you can do at this particular time. So if you didn't get a chance to hear the show with the Forgotten Foods, what I would suggest is that you get yourself over to the Remix page right here and download. And now there's a couple of ways that you can actually download and listen to the show. So if you have an iPod, if you have any of the Apple devices that supports iTunes, you can actually just click the purple link right there and download. And this is going to tap in and give you all of the shows that's been here on the Remix. And boy, I tell you, it's quite a bit. You have a lot of archives to go through. And you can definitely download and get all of that information. Or you can download it straight to your computer. You can download it right to your desktop. If you have an MP3 player or any of those other devices that support MP3, you can download it to that. So whatever you do, download. It is a must. You can hear myself and all of the wonderful brothers and sisters from all over the world who has come on the Remix platform. So don't forget to do that. Download, especially in this time where we're getting so many downloads from all over the world. I want to say this. Again, you guys, you know, I tell you about the tone that's being set based upon the readings. Of course, you guys know I do the one-on-one personal readings where you get to spend some sacred time with me. And I am just grinning from ear to ear because I had an opportunity to connect, and I love it every week, with so many amazing brothers and sisters from all over the world. And that is always an honor. I have spoken with doctors, lawyers, homeschoolers, other psychics, other spiritual teachers, healers, authors, researchers, artists. You know, I get a chance to really just connect with all of you guys. And it's so amazing. So whether we're doing a sacred session or whether we're diving into the Akashic Records, which you guys know I love so much, and we're just really sharing all of these confirmations back and forth, they are so life-changing. And know that it is that way for me. And know that you can always reach out to me if you're interested or you want to get that one-on-one session just by emailing me at question, Q-U-E-S-T-I-O-N, the number 4, blue, at gmail.com. So now, you guys, a couple more housekeeping things I want to take care of. First, I want to say the Kim Business Class, woo. We are doing the Kim Business Class. It's going down again. We got another large group of brothers and sisters. This is the third group that is going to be going through the Kim Business Class. And so I'm very, very excited about that. And anyone who wants to find out more information, just what the Kim Business Class is all about, just email me, questionforblue@gmail.com. And definitely Sister Manya will be able to do that, to send you back some information. So excited about that. We're going to talk about some things that happened. You guys remember that we did a class on Wednesday night in the astral realm. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to dance. We're going to get ready to welcome Mr. Anderson because, boy, he's nice and fired up, and he has some amazing gems that he's going to be sharing with us here tonight. But first, I want to tell you guys this. If you have not gone over to Facebook, here's what I want to invite everyone to do. Right now, get yourself over to Facebook. I know many of you are a part of the Remix family, which is amazing. Love you for it, and I want you to be a part of that as well. But there's also the Remix Radio over there. It is a page where you can actually like, and you can get on there. It's going to be all kinds of goodies. I post goodies over there as well as on the Remix Family page. So they're both a part of the Remix Family page. So what I want you to do is I want you to get yourself over to the Remix Radio page on Facebook. All you have to do is click like, and you'll be in. Now, the reason I want you to go over there is because I have some questions. And I want to give a big shout-out to Esther and also the Sister I of Kemet because they helped me out with sort of kind of setting this up. There are two questions over there, and anyone can answer it whenever. It doesn't matter when you're listening. And this is really going to tie into a lot of what we're going to be talking about here tonight. And so the first question that is being asked, and I got to find it here, and if you look over there, you'll see it. The question for tonight, it says, if you were a plant, what plant would you be and why? I want to know what plant you would be and why. So we have a poll already going. So it's up to you. Maybe you want to kind of jump on board with these brothers and sisters. And also, I want to give a big shout out to, let me get the brother's name, Troy, the comedian Coleman, because he also posted his question up there as well, too. So he's got the poll going, too. So we have Esther, I of Kemet. And we also have the brother Troy, the comedian Coleman up there as well, too. And so I want you to tell us, because we're going to discuss this, in the poll that we have going right now, we have, actually, we have three plants that are going. And it's fine. Oh, actually, four. Let me not forget the other sister, because she answered the question, too. I think she just didn't put hers in the Tamara. Tamara put bamboo up there. So we have bamboo. I want to say thank you to her. We have the eggplant. We have two votes right now for the eggplant. Stargazer. We have two votes for Stargazer. And also Venus flytrap. We have two votes for Venus flytrap. Now, if you want to know who said what, you got to get over to the Remix page, click like, and you'll be able to get on the page and see that and answer the question. And then the second question that we have, and when Mr. Anderson comes on, I'm sure he's going to give us his take on that as well, too, so we'll be able to get into that. Here's the second question for tonight, and we're going to go through these as well. And this is, if you can only take one plant from the plant kingdom for survival, what would that one plant be and why? So that's the second question. I want you guys to answer that because we're going to be talking about spirituality, how it connects to the plant kingdom, and really, really just dive into this. Of course, you know the official gardener for the Remix is iGrowYouGrow.biz, Mr. Anderson, and he comes on and always share a wealth of knowledge. And tonight is not going to be any different. He's going to be doing that. I see you guys in the chat room. You have a lot of great answers over here, but I want you to go over to the Remix Radio page, and I want you to definitely like the page, of course, because that's how you're going to subscribe to the page, and like and subscribe the page, and then I want you to answer the questions, because we're going to be going through them as we go on the show, and we'll be doing some more of this from time to time. It's just another way that we can stay connected with each other. So now, one more news of business that we're going to move on to as we continue to get into the show. And I see everyone filling up. I see the phone lines filling up. I also see you guys filling up here in the chat room as well. Welcome to the Remix, everyone. I'm your host, of course, Miss Blue. And tonight, Mr. Anderson of iGrowYouGrow.biz is going to be here talking about spirituality and the plant kingdom. So we're going to just continue this. This is all about bringing all of this energy together, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But here's what I want to say first, before we actually get ready to get up and dance. How many of you, and I want to know this, show of hands in here, because we got tons of emails, tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of emails from you guys out there, tons of emails about the Astro class. So here we go. But I want to know how many of you guys joined the Astro class on Wednesday night. How many? If you're in the chat room, you can put a heart in the room if you were there. I know I've gotten many of your emails, and you've told me lots of stories about you guys being there, and I want to kind of speak to that. I see you guys there. Yeah, Esther, I know you were there. Sister Manya, I know you were there. So I want to know how many of you guys joined us. If you're in the chat room, and I know some of you guys are not there, and you're not in the chat room. So now, and then also I got a lot of people saying they could not find it. They couldn't find it. And then also I got that some people said that they didn't know where it was. They didn't know where it was, and they didn't know how to get there. So now let's talk about that, because remember at the beginning of the show, the main thing of how to get there was to set intention. A lot of times, because this is not dreaming when you go. We go to the astral realm every single night. We know that. But this was setting an intention. This is not something that Miss Blue made up. This is something that our ancient teachers and masters have known since the beginning of time, is that you can actually learn things in the astral realm a lot easier, a lot faster. The information comes to you. You're able to digest it. You're able to converse and ask questions, and you're able to explore things. It really is limitless. There is no limit. So learning in the astral realm is very, very powerful, very powerful. And so it was through my own learning that I have done a lot of as well in the astral realm that I decided to bring this on. That's a whole nother story. We'll talk about it on another day. But I do want to get into about the class in the astral realm and how you get there. You set intentions to get there. So before you go to sleep, set the intention that you were going to show up in the class. I did tell you the class was about crystals. And, oh, by the way, Brother Wayne Chandler was there. He came through, and he shared a segment as well, too, about his favorite crystal and some of his best usage for this crystal. And he's also agreed that he's going to be coming on a show a little later when he comes on the show, and he's going to talk about everything that he shared in the astral realm. Now, surprising enough, I've been speaking to quite a few of you who have joined the class in the astral realm, and even though I didn't give you a lot of details, you were able to give details about things that went on. A lot of you were able to recognize each other who was in the astral realm, and then a lot of you were even there to recognize exactly what I was sharing in the astral realm, what I was teaching on with the crystals, and what information I was passing on. Now, here's the interesting thing. As a person hosting sort of this in the astral realm, I was able to give that information. So I actually had an outline of what I would be facilitating in the class. I didn't share that with anyone. I didn't even share it with Sister Manya. I kept that with myself. I didn't share it with anyone. But yet many of you were able to tell me exactly what happened. You see, so it is very, very real. Know your magic for real. We're coming in a time where these are things where we can get a lot of answers to. We can connect with each other. We know that there is a reality where time and space does not exist. And this is something our ancestors have known as well, too. So when we start to talk about traveling through the past and going through different ways, this is the way. Brother Wayne Chandler also knew how powerful this was, too, so he agreed. So for all of you who were able to make it and be able to come in, it was so perfect. It was absolutely so perfect, and you got so much out of it. I've talked with Esther, talked with Sister Manya. A couple of you have posted it as well on Facebook as well, too, and just really, really shared how much fun it was. Some of you said you woke up. How will you know that you were there? Well, it'll be through your memory. That's one. The other way that you're actually going to know that you're there, a lot of you will wake up. You'll be very tired the next morning, of course, because you were in the astral realm and you were still awoke. So you wake up very tired. A brother even emailed me, and actually I got a couple of emails, but he said that he was there. He remembered what I had on. He'll never forget it. And a lot of things about the class, but he slept all day. That's how tired he was the next day. He slept all day. Those were some of the things. There was a sister who gave very account detail about different things she learned how to do that was working with crystals. And these were a lot of the things that I shared. And she actually posted it over on the Remix Radio page, so you'll be able to go. Many of you sent emails that was there. Some of your husbands and wives said that you guys were talking in your sleep, saying all kinds of stuff. Many of you seen Brother Wayne Chandler there. And all of this. And so this is exactly how you can do it. We'll be doing other classes in the astral realm. So if you wasn't able to connect or to find it, it's okay. That doesn't mean you did anything wrong. It doesn't mean you wasn't where you needed to be. It doesn't mean any of that. You will have the opportunity to go into this class in the astral realm the next time I do it. And so I just want to say thank you to all of you for setting those intentions, coming and hanging out. We had a lot of fun. It was cool. Big love to Brother Wayne Chandler. You can pass that on to him and give him big love too. He's going to come on the show and talk about it as well and some other amazing things. So I wanted to kind of put that out there because it's so important that we continue to do this work. And I know a lot of the work, really, you know me, Miss Blue, I'm going to take you away from the box, really away from the box. We're not staying in the box. You're not going to be able to grab the box. It's nowhere near the box. And these are the times where we really, really need to know our magic for real, know it for real, and know it now. Speaking of which, I want to take some time, and I want to take some time, and I want us to send some positive energy to all of those who have been affected by Hurricane Sandy, because there are still many who are without lights, who are without electricity, who have lost loved ones, and many things have happened to them, that they're still searching, they're staying with friends, family, they're staying in places where they have lost so much. They have lost so much. And so we want to take a moment to just send some very, very positive energy out to them, to all of their family. I know I have many family that is there and friends that are there. And we want to take some time to just begin to send them some very, very good, positive energy. And also, Ebony is in the chat room. I want to give a big shout out and love to her. And we got a chance to chat as well. And, you know, holding it down, all of the boroughs from Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, you know, all of the boroughs, Manhattan, everywhere out there, Long Island, Staten Island, Roosevelt Island, you know, everyone that's out there, and even those that are in Haiti, Barbados, that in Jamaica and other parts that they don't talk about so much, that's been impacted. You know, during the week of Hurricane Sandy, I had put a post up to let people know, you know, that you need to do what you need to do to protect yourself, because there will be moments of darkness. We talked about this at the beginning of the year. These were some of the things that I predicted, and they have come to pass many times over, and we still have more to go through. So it's about us really being prepared for these situations that are coming up. So we'll be doing more shows about how to prepare ourselves. In fact, all of this work that we're doing is for that preparation. And so it's not a popularity contest that we're trying to win. It is really about everybody contributing and doing their work. And so that's the greatest gift. That's the greatest thank you that I can give to myself and also give to you guys. And so that's really what I'm committed to. We talked about at the beginning of this year how I would only speak to the genius in you. And there's a reason for that. It's so much energy going on out here. And, you know, the interesting thing about energy, it has a way of connecting itself to you, because we are energy. You know, we have this electrical storm that goes on with inside of our bodies and our brain and our heart every single day. And so the intention is to definitely stay in balance. Balance with the elements, which Mr. Anderson is going to go through these elements and really connect them on a spiritual level for you tonight so you can get to see that from another perspective as well. So this is a time that everything is needed. That is something that was shared to me by Brother Ogun, and I never forgot it. He said, never throw away anything because you'll need it. Everything is needed at this particular time. So just kind of think of yourself kind of like Dora the Explorer and put it in your backpack until you need it. So it's not about dismissing thoughts and what's good and what's not good and who's better and who would you rather hear and what would you rather do. It is really time out for so much of that foolishness. It really is. And this is the time that people are showing you on so many levels what really is in their hearts. So we talk about pole shifting and we talk about energy. We have so many different energetic layers that is in our aura, and one of them is connected on a universal level. None of the levels can really be fooled by those of us who can read energy, but for those of us, let's say you can't, that element that is extending from your heart, it cannot be fooled. We're in the time now where that veil is gone, and so all of those true things are now coming to the surface, and we can see them for real. We can understand their intent. We can understand what is really, really going on. And so, unfortunately, we will see a lot of the sick get sicker. You know, we will see those who are striving to really raise their consciousness and raise the vibration, the frequency that is coming from their heart, get brighter. And so our goal should be, I know mine's is definitely to illuminate that vibration that's truly in my heart. Truly in my heart. Yeah. So, beautiful. Beautiful, you guys. All right. So, here are some of the things that we're going to be doing. We're going to be lifting up the energy. And what I want you to do is I want you to just focus your attention. And I want you to begin as you focus your attention. I want you to begin to just send this energy out to everyone, including yourself, this positive energy all throughout the world so we can create this portal. It's already been opened for us today. To send it out, healing, love, just wonderful, uplifting thoughts, help, assistance to all of those who need it around the world. So just get into that happy space. And whatever you want to do to send that frequency and that vibration out, I want you to do it. Here we go. All right, you guys, we are live in the remix. And I am your host, of course, Miss Blue. Tonight, spirituality and the plant kingdom. Mr. Anderson is going to be joining us here in just a second. And if you're not familiar with Mr. Anderson and his work, what you can do is definitely get yourself over to www.grow.biz. And definitely you can go over there to what Mr. Anderson is and sign up for his newsletter there and hear all the great things about the plant kingdom, spirituality, how you can connect yourself with it as well. We're going to listen to a little bit of Baby Blue. Don't forget to get over to Remix and answer the questions over there as well, too. And, we're going to be right back after that.
Ladies and gentlemen,
stop! It's the remix!
This is Blue Raspberry Wen, and you are live in the remix.
Hey, yeah!
All right, you guys, so we're going to actually dance a little bit here. And so I want you guys to get yourself up, because we're going to move around a little bit here. And just enjoy ourselves as we welcome Mr. Anderson to the forum.
Ain't nobody crying. Ain't nobody worried. Ain't no smiling faces. No.
All right, you guys, let's go ahead and bring on Mr. Anderson of igrowyougrow.biz so we can get into the show right now.
La, 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 the remix. Hey, this is Baby Blue. And remember, if nothing else moves you, life will.
All right. Peace and greetings, Mr. Anderson.
Greetings, greetings.
How are you? So good to have you in the remix tonight.
I am wonderful. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, beautiful. I know we got a lot of things that we're going to be covering here tonight. First, I want to just kind of let you go ahead. I know it's been a minute since you've been on, to let everyone know just a little bit more about who you are and the work that you do and what we're going to be talking about here tonight.
Okay, okay. Well, first of all, it's an honor and a pleasure to be on the remix.
Yeah.
I am Mr. Anderson, and I am the founder of igrowyougrow.biz. And what I do is empower you to eat what you grow and to produce your produce in a suburban and urban setting. So I gear my skills and cultivation tactics towards the urban suburban setting because that's where most of our population is dwelling right now. And
right.
I focus on kitchen gardening. And a kitchen garden is usually something that's closer to the home and is readily available to bring into the kitchen. And my goal is that every kitchen have a garden. So, I just want to promote growth and allow people to produce produce, eat what they grow, enjoy all the aspects of gardening, you know, because gardening goes in many different directions. It'll take you and it'll carry you, you know, to the higher self. It'll provide you food, clothing, and shelter. It has so many layers. It'll allow you to create. It'll allow you to communicate with people on all levels, all backgrounds and things of that nature. And it allows you to be a creator. So
right.
I just basically, you know, promote growth again, empower you to eat what you grow, and just love to share the gift that I have been given to grow and make the earth be fruitful and multiply.
Beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. And it's always good to have you come on, particularly this time of the year. And that's what I really want to get into. I know where we're going to be talking about tonight, about spirituality and the plant kingdom and just really how those two go hand in hand and just some of your work over the years. So that's what I definitely want to start out with, to talk about spirituality and the plant kingdom.
Okay. So the spiritual aspect of gardening is basically you can take a lot of the gardening techniques and you can use them in your everyday life to carry you as a person that will be, you know, an upstanding citizen, a pillar in the community, helpful, always, you know, approachable and things of that nature. So I use gardening as a spiritual vehicle, and it could be broken down in several different ways. And we've come up with quite a few subtitles because it's just too much just to dive in.
Yeah.
So we can take it in bits and pieces, and I can demonstrate to you how I use gardening as a spiritual vehicle for myself. And it will allow, you know, you to see how deep the plant kingdom is and how much more it is than just, you know, trying to produce some lettuce to make a salad. But I did want to answer the two questions. If you want
me to answer
the two questions.
I certainly do. And they're on Facebook, too, Mr. Anderson, over on the Remix radio page. And so you can actually go right there to the Remix radio page, and the questions are there. But, yes, we'd love to have you answer them here live in the forum. So I'll read the first question, and, we'd love to hear your take on it. So the first question for tonight is, if you were a plant, what plant would you be and why?
Okay. I mean, that's like asking which one is your favorite children for me. But just for the sake of picking out one particular plant, I would have to say that I would like to be a fig tree.
A fig tree, yes.
And the reason why I would like to be a fig tree is because, first of all, the fig will give you 2 harvests per year. So I consider myself to be a giver. And this plant gives you 2 harvests per year, one in the fall and one in the summer, or one in the spring and one in the fall. So, you know, what better plant to represent giving than a plant that can give you a harvest twice a year? And also, the fruit that it gives off is one of the most highest alkaline vegetables or fruits that is out there. The fig is very, very high in alkaline. It's an alkaline fruit. And then it also is sweet. And I like I like to leave people with a you know, pleasant and be highly spoken of when I leave somebody. So it's sweet, it's healthy, it gives you 2 harvests. Also, the fig leaves are famous. Everybody knows what the fig leaf is famous for. You know, in the scriptures, the fig leaf is used to cover, you know, so I can cover you as well. If you got problems, I'll be able to cover you if I'm a fig tree. So you can use my leaves. The leaves are very, very big. And the fig tree is notorious for spreading itself. It will spread itself. It grows out shoots, and then it continues to spread itself. So it has a lot of interesting characteristics that I'd like to fancy myself after. So I could spread, you know, like I said, I want every kitchen to have a garden. So it's a lot of kitchens in this world. So I got a lot of gardens to promote and install and help people create. So I really need to spread. I could kind of go on and on, but we can go to the next question. But I'd like to be a fig tree.
A fig tree. Well, you know, I think that is great. And we have some great afterwards we're going to kind of go over maybe a little later in the show. So for those of you just joining, get over to the Remix radio page, and all you have to do is like the page and answer the question. We got some good conversation going on in the chat room as well as over on Facebook. Now, here's the second question. Now, this question here, and I was thinking about this question and actually kind of toggling back and forth between myself and Esther. We kind of came up with this question, and it is, if you could only take one plant from the plant kingdom for survival, what would that plant be and why?
If I could only take one plant, it would probably be the mushroom.
The mushroom. Why?
Because the mushroom, it's a healing. It has a very high healing aspect to it. And, you know, if you get sick, you can heal yourself. But also it can nourish you. If it can give you, you know, make you feel satisfied when you eat it as far as hunger. You don't have to worry about it spoiling because it can dry and then you can rehydrate it and eat it, make soup, you can make tea.
Right.
It inoculates mostly any surface. So once you get the one mushroom, you can, it'll shoot out spores, and you can inoculate pretty much any area that you're in, and it has like a long lifespan. Like mushrooms been around forever and ever and ever.
Right.
Even like the brother Baratunda on the Forgotten Foods, he talked about an ancient Neanderthal man or whatever that they found, and he had a pouch, and in his pouch he had mushrooms. So it's a very, very ancient food, ancient medicine, and you pretty much, if you're going to carry it around, you have to carry it in a log of some sort, because it grows on like a log or in wood or something like that. So 9 times out of 10, I would either have it in the staff or something like that, or I would have it in some type of log or stick or branch or whatever. So it would be a dual purpose for me. I could make a staff out of it and use it as a weapon and a walking stick and whatever, and still have my medicine and my food and all of this in one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would take a mushroom.
Oh, wow. Well, there are definitely some good answers over here, and I'd love to hear. And thank you so much for that, Mr. Anderson. We're going to kind of go through some of the questions. So I know you're doing this show right now, but afterwards, definitely, I want you to go over to the Remix page and put up Fig Tree there. Also, Dr. Yu of U360, 60 Health, is in the chat room, too. It would be interesting to see what plant Dr. Yu would take. He works with those herbs and plants too, so lots of good conversation going on here in the Remix as we continue this discussion about spirituality in the plant kingdom. I want to talk about, because this is something I know is very much close to your heart, for you doing this work, this is a part of your spiritual work, and I know you've said many times on the shows that we've done before, how this has really just helped enlighten you so many different ways. And right now, we have so many different elements that are going on. Let's talk about the elements and the seasons and how this is connected to spirituality, the plant kingdom, and what's going on.
Okay. So the elements, basically, you can look at it from the periodic table. Everything is an element, the hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, potassium, calcium, so forth and so on, is the elements that go into you growing your own food. And a lot of these elements has to come together to produce this produce or to grow this food. But also, on the human side of things, we have all these same elements in us. We take vitamins to supplement it, but, you know, A to Z, the vitamin, you taking all of those vitamins so that you can get those elements back in your body that may have been depleted.
Right.
You need zinc, you need iron, you need calcium, you need potassium, you need all these things. And these elements are the same things that are made up with the plants. So if you ever looked at a bag of fertilizer or something, type of plant food or something, whether it be organic or chemical or whatever, it'll have three numbers on it, maybe a 5-3-5 or 10-10-10. Well, these three numbers on the fertilizer bag or whatever represent some type of element that is contained in that particular fertilizer that you are purchasing. So the first number represents nitrogen. The second number represents phosphorus. And the third number represents potassium. So when you look at the bag of product or whatever you're buying, you have to kind of know the characteristics of what you want the plant to do so that you can give it the right elements for it to produce the produce. So say if you get a fruiting plant, like a tomato, the nitrogen is responsible for the green foliage of the leaf, like the green part of the leafy part of it. And then the phosphorus is more responsible for the fruiting aspect, where the flower and the fruit come out of the flower. And then the calcium or the potassium is more for like the cellular structure and the vascular system of the plant. Just like a human, if you run and playing sports and such and you get a cramp, the first thing they do is give you a banana, because the banana is high in potassium, and the potassium is going it's gonna open up the flow of things, the lactic acid and different things of that nature, so that your vascular system and your acid and alkaline can flow better with that potassium. So the same thing goes into the plant. The elements are very vital. You need the NPK, and then you also need calcium, you also need phosphorus and magnesium and bromine and all these different things, but it's three different elements. So with the tomato plant, you have to have the elements in balance so that it can perform at its highest expectation. So you're expecting a lot of big, juicy tomatoes. So you wouldn't put the element of nitrogen in the growing area or too much nitrogen, because you would produce a whole bunch of leaves but not a lot of fruit. And that wouldn't be producing produce, that would be producing leaves that are not edible. So you have to know the elements to, you know, get the max to maximize what you're trying to do. And with a human, the elements that you need, you have to have the right elements, not only on a periodic table, but you can look at the elements as a tool, the tools that surround you. You need to surround yourself with the right type of people. You need to have the right type of education. You need to have the right type of nutrition. Like, your diet needs to be good. You can't be eating a whole lot of fast food. You have to be, exercising. You have to be hydrating.
Right.
You know, you need the hydrogen and the oxygen and different things. So elements on the periodic table and elements in your life. You need these elements to be in line so that you can, you know, produce the right type of produce. If you're trying to be, you know, the best radio host, you need to, you know, speak right. You need to practice on speaking. You need to communicate a lot. You know, you need to have these type of elements in your tool bag, so that you can perform the job. So the elements are very important in the plant kingdom, or when you're trying to be a gardener or trying to grow things, you really need to understand what elements the plant needs. So if you're trying to grow collard greens, that's a leafy vegetable.
Right.
And based on what I just told you, you would need fertilizer higher in the first number, because the first number represents the nitrogen. So if it's just a leafy vegetable, it's not going to need as much potassium and phosphorus as it would nitrogen, because you're trying to produce a big leaf, because the leaf is what you want. And if the flower is what you want the middle. So then you have to adjust what you're using to get that balance. So coffee grounds will equal nitrogen. Nutshells would equal phosphorus. Banana peels would equal potassium. So when you out there planting and you're doing it as an organic thing, you would get your coffee grinds, you would get your nutshells, and you would get your banana peels, and you would work them into the soil. Or you would make sure you put them in your compost bin so that you could have a balance. But if you were just a tomato farmer, you would need a lot of nutshells, like walnut shells, pecan shells, acorn shells, like that type of stuff, so that your soil or your compost will be high in phosphorus. Or you can use bone meal and a lot of different things like that. So that's the element part of what you use, you know, what you gain from gardening and the understanding of the elements in gardening, and you segue it into your life, and you understand that you have to have the proper elements to achieve the goals that you are trying to achieve, and you put the right mixture in your life and the right type of elements that will give you a gateway to your higher self, or be used as a vehicle to get you to the goals that you're setting for yourself. And then as far as the seasons go,
Right.
The seasons are dictated by the sun and the moon and the stars, because he set the sun for the greater light and the moon
right.
as the lesser light and the stars, and they should be for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. So these seasons are set by the sun and the moon and the stars. Now, the sun's role is very vital. We all know the sun's role. The sun gives the energy. The sun brings in a new day. The sun gives us heat. The sun does everything, but the sun kind of plays a male role in things. And the male role, the father figure, or the Ra, or the, you know, the life giver, all of that. Now, the moon is representative of the female, and the female brings the life. The female, the life goes through the female. Not to denote the sun, because the sun is very, very important. Anytime you're doing any garden, the garden is based on how it faces the sun. It has to be facing the sun to pick up the optimal amount of sun light, because the sun is what's going to create the photosynthesis and give the plant the energy and give it the heat and all of these different things. And the moon is very vital, because it is setting the seasons, and it controls the tides, and the moon dictates the coming and the going, the ebb and flow of things, and it also dictates a lot to the gardener, because the gardener is influenced by the moon very much so. And the female, the moon is, you know, it is representative of the female in so much as female's normal cycle is usually 28 days, and then they
right.
go through the dark period, or the spinning of the flowers, or whatever you want to call it, and then boom, back to the new part of the cycle, and everything is good, and you waxing, and everything is great. Then you waning, and now you're going into that part of the cycle that's
right.
called dark. And the moon is the exact same way. It has a 28-day cycle, and then it goes into a dark phase, and then it comes back into a waxing phase and a waning phase. So the moon has 28 days of light, starting with the first crescent. The first crescent would be considered one, and then it goes to the half, and when it gets perfectly half, that's 7 days from the first light. It's half, and that's called waxing. And then exactly seven days later, which is 14 days, the moon is full. So you had a full moon on the 14th day.
Right.
And this is in increments of seven. So you had a full moon on the 14th day, and then the moon has waxed. And while the moon is waxing or growing from the crescent to the full moon, this is when planters or gardeners need to put their above-ground crops in. So stuff that grows above the ground, this is the time that you plant it. You plant your tomatoes, your leafy vegetables,
right.
your okra, your squash, all the stuff that grows above the ground, you plant it during this phase, because this phase is going to be getting energy from the sun. It's going to be getting basically love from the father and the mother, because you're going to have the sun full in the day, and then you're going to have a lot of illumination during the night from the moon. And then 14 days is the full moon, and then exactly 7 days later, the moon is half again, but on the other side. It was half on the left, and the first time now it's half on the right, but it's decreasing from full. Now it's decreasing. They call that the waning moon. So
right.
21 days later, you got a half moon again. And then exactly 7 days after that, you have your 28th day, which will be a crescent again, but on the other side, the opposite, facing the opposite side that the first crescent was on. So you go through these four phases, and they're 7, 7, 7, 7. So that's 28 days. And then the moon goes through a dark period. And that could be 1 day or 2 days or 1.5 days approximately. And then you get that light again, that crescent, and the phase start over and over and over. And each season has three phases. So the spring has three phases, the fall, spring, summer, fall, winter, they all have their phases. And the moon is very dynamic. A lot of people say that the moon falls behind the sun because if you live or operate on a lunar calendar, you only get about 350-odd days on a Gregorian calendar. And then on the solar calendar, you got the 365 days. But on the spiritual side of things, the moon catches up. If you ever look out and see the full moon, you will see the full moon in the eastern sky at night. And you can do this because the full moon is coming up. You can do this. You look at the full moon in the eastern sky. And then that morning when you wake up, before the light come out, you will see that full moon again in the western sky. So it's traveling that fast overnight. And I believe this is how the moon keeps up with the sun. And some, you know, usually people say the moon goes in a circle, but I believe that the moon goes through a portal to get from that east to that west. It goes through a portal, and that's how it keeps up with the sun. Because if the moon was truly behind the sun that many days over time, we wouldn't have a moon because it would run into the sun. But I believe it travels through portals through my observation, and this is why the moon is so powerful. And the moon has such an effect on the earth that it keeps it. The earth is already on a 20-degree axis that wobbles back and forth, and that goes into the hole, whatever. But the moon is keeping the tides because the earth is really made more water than it is land. And the moon pulls the tides in and out. And that's why when a woman is pregnant, a lot of times women conceive their children on the full moon because that moon is pulling that water.
When a
woman have a baby, the water breaks. That's the first thing that happens, the water breaks. But then also on the full moon, they say that man is more aware. And I guess that's where they get the werewolf thing from. But man is more aware because man is over 70% water. And that 70% water, you being affected by that moon in the sky. Well, a plant is 70%, over 70% water. And that's why the moon has such an effect on the above ground crops at that time, because it is pulling, it has a connection with the water, just like it does with the tide, it does that with the plants. So I've taken pictures of collard greens at night, and these collard green leaves are sticking straight up in the air.
Yes, the next
straight up in the air because they have a connection, and they're getting energy just like they would get energy from the sun during the daytime. They're getting energy from the moon at nighttime. So the moon has several different things that it runs in a cycle. And then, you know, also when you talk about the phases of the moon and the sun, you got to bring in the zodiac. And, you know, a lot of the people do the zodiac to the Greeks and this and that. But I tend to use the 12 tribes of Israel more geared towards the zodiac than I do the regular zodiac. So, and I learned that from C. Freeman L. He talked about how the each one of the suns represented some part of the zodiac in the houses and so forth and so on. So once you start learning about the moon and how it affects the plant kingdom, you'll see how it affects you. And then you can use this to your advantage. So you would tend to do your meditating at a certain phase of the moon, and you would deal with, you know, the negative aspects of your life at a certain time. You would have, you know, because man is always waxing and waning. You're not up all the time. Sometimes you're down. Like you said, you got to go through a darkness phase at some point or another. So also the seasons. The moon sets the season, so you get the fall in the summer and all of that. And in the on the path of the ancients, when you grow your own food, you have to be very, very wise about how you grow your own food. Like now we can go and supplement our diet and go buy food at grocery stores and get strawberries in the middle of the winter and all this different kind of stuff. If you're living on the path of the ancients, you produce some produce and you really trying to just eat what you grow, you have to be very mindful of what you're growing and how you're growing it and when it's coming to harvest and things of that nature, because in the path, on the path of the ancients, they had to be mindful of when they made it with their spouses and cohabitated, you know, to bring forth children. Because if you made it or you, you know, impregnated your spouse at the wrong time of the year, that baby would be born when there's no fruit, when there's no harvest to be had.
So now
you got a mother trying to nurse a child that's not being nourished herself. So you have to look at the time of the season when you cohabitate and you plant that seed, like you plant that seed in the earth, you know how many days it's going to take to get that fruit. You have to do the same thing with the woman if you produce your own produce, truly, truly food independent, producing your own produce, so that that seed will be born at the time of the harvest. So that means you had only to mate between, like, the spring and the summer months, so that them 9 months later, when the spring and the summer months come back again, that child will be born and you have all these nourishing vegetables for the mother to take, to give and transfer over to the child. And then you teach your child that, and you have a child, you know, once a year at the same time. And then brother's like, well, I couldn't just do that mating once a year, but it's not once a year. Once you, you know, once you impregnate, then you good. You can go, you know, whenever. So it's not a fact of you depriving yourself. You just got to be smart about it and do it at the right time. So these seasons are that vital where they even go down to the time when you need to be mating. So this is a little bit about the elements and the seasons when you're trying to garden or think about gardening or producing your own produce and using it to segue into, you know, more than just bringing something to the table. You got to consider the season, the time, the days, the years, what elements is caused to do what. So your root vegetables, you would plant them when the moon is waning, when it's going down. So the reason why that is because the moon has more effect on the undercurrents when it's in the dark phase. And your root vegetables be like your beets, your sweet potatoes, your turnips, your rutabagas, you know, your onions and your garlic and things of that nature is your root vegetables, which are very vital because you plant those sweet potatoes and roots and you harvest them in November or right before, you know, right as the wintertime comes. And that's what sustains you through the winter is your root vegetables. So you can get through the cold winter and have a high-calorie diet because you're moving slower and you're not moving around and you're not eating as much tomatoes and watermelons and squash and things of that nature. You're going to be eating, you know, ground provisions, parsnip, turnips, making more soups and making more stews and things more hearty to get you through the winter. And then you harvest, you know, then you start – you have enough energy to start planting again for the spring, and then you start getting all your, you know, your fruits and your fancy vegetables and things of that nature. So that's some of the aspects of when you're dealing with a spiritual vehicle and you take the aspect of the elements and the seasons.
Right, which plays a very, very important role, like you said, the elements and the seasons. When you talk about the sun, the stars, the moon, we know how that can impact us. And it, and like you said, even the full moon, you know, this is when they would say, well, society says that most of the crimes are committed. Most people do some of the most craziest things around the time of the full moon. you know, because
right.
it is sort of that pull on that tie of that water. But really that is speaking more to the lower self in the human than the higher self. I want to now move, and maybe this will be a great place to start talking about next, because we are getting more into the spirituality part of the plant kingdom, is talk about the tree of life as you see it and how that connection is brought together with spirituality in the plant kingdom.
Okay. The tree of life, I mean, a lot of people have a lot of different takes on the tree of life and who it is and what it is and how they use it and all these different things. But to me, it's just a symbol of growth. It's a symbol of growth. It's a symbol of stages. So
right.
I've put this up as a quote on my Twitter and different things of that nature. I see men as trees walking.
Yeah.
And
I've seen that.
Yeah, what that means to me is that, you know, I'm a student of the Bible. I mean, I'm not ashamed of that. So the it's a point in there when the Messiah is approaching a blind man, and the blind man wants his sight restored. So the Messiah takes some spit and makes a salve with the dirt and puts it on the man's eyes. And then he tells him to open his eyes and asks him, what does he see? And he says, I see men as trees walking. And then he rubs his eyes again, and then he say, what do you see now? And he say, I see men as they are. So basically what I got from that is that the first vision that he was giving him was too powerful, or that wasn't the vision that normal men are supposed to have. You're supposed to see men as they are right now. But when you have a different set of spiritual eyes, you see men as trees walking. So when you see somebody as a tree, you have much more respect for a tree than you do a human. I mean, that's just the day and age that we're living in right now. You get in more trouble for cutting down a tree than you will for killing somebody.
Yes, and this is so true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the facts of life, especially, you know, with the environmental and different things of that nature. But the tree, if you look at the tree, you know, like the acorn is the oak tree. So if you have a little bitty acorn, you look at that acorn and you think to yourself, how could this acorn turn into this big oak tree that's, you know, oak tree round as a car? I mean, huge. You've seen oak trees very, very large. But they started from that acorn, that little bitty acorn. And nobody necessarily planted that acorn. That acorn fell down. Leaves fell on top of it. It buried itself. It went from that small, small stick into this big, big oak tree that's now providing shade and wood and things for the house and, you know, all these different things. And it's living for years and years and years and years and years. So every life to me is representative of a tree. So the tree of life is actually each and every one of us. And as we grow and as we promote growth, we represent the stages of a tree. Because a lot of people, you know, back in the day, they would have a tree in their yard, and then when the tree died or whatever, they would cut that tree down, and that tree would have rings in it. And each one of them rings in that tree would represent one generation of their family, and they would mark their family by the rings in this tree. So to me, the tree of life is actually the humans that are walking and talking around on the earth, and it symbolizes the growth and the different stages of life that you have to go through to live life. And then it all ties back to growing. It all ties back to growing, because you have to grow. But did you want to say something before I continue?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I really am loving, you know, what you're saying there. I know I had a channel with some trees, and that was one of the main things that they talked about, was really just for every single person on the planet, that each one of us was represented through trees. And even some parts of the world, you know, like in Africa, where you will see deserts and everything all around you, and you will see this tree growing in the middle of out of nowhere. And even in many of the villages there, they have those trees that really is symbolic, that represents their tribe. Those trees represent those tribes and begin to connect with all of those things as well, too. So that's interesting that you said that. And even when you go to California and you look at the redwood forest, where you see those trees that are so huge, some of them you can actually have enough lumber from them that they actually will be able to build 13, 14 houses, you know, with that much lumber. And like you said, to come from the smallest seeds, and a lot of the smallest seeds are where the most powerful trees come from. And a lot of time, yes, the sequoias. And actually, I have a part of a sequoia tree that was here that I have on one of my altars here. But the sequoia tree, what's interesting is that most of them are grown through fires. When there are these raging fires that come, that sort of kind of cleanses the soil and takes everything away, and then the seeds are there to really plant themselves and then begin to grow. The tree of life. And yes, you're right, the branches, which represents our family and the extended family, and even the leaves. And, you know, a movie that I found to be very profound this year, and many others, was the movie with Eddie Murphy in it, A Thousand Words, that talked about the tree that was connected with Buddha. And even how the leaves on the tree, some of them are heart-shaped, and some of them are very large, and some are very small. But yet they contain ancient knowledge within them. So very powerful, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. And then I'm sure you've been seeing some of the photos that, that crop up on Facebook. I don't know if they photoshopped or not, but some of these trees got faces. Some of these trees have
well, you know, you can talk to
male and female genitalia.
Yes,
you know, they got the trees with all of this different kind of stuff. So, just the tree of life represents, to me people. And then if you go back to the scene about the Garden of Eden, whether you think that's a real place or not, that's up for you. That's for you to decide. But in the Garden of Eden, it said that I put a tree of life there, which you can talk to, you can eat from. He said I got trees that are good for food, and then trees that are not good for food. And then it said that I got a tree of knowledge of good and evil that I don't want you to deal with. So a lot of people thinking that this is just some literal tree with an apple on it and this and that, but this was actually people walking around on the earth, and you had some trees that you could deal with that was good to talk to and to learn life from and to gain different aspects and grow from. Then you had trees that had knowledge and evil mixed in them, and these was the type of people that you needed to avoid. You didn't eat what they was trying to give you. So you avoided the trees that was giving you knowledge of good and evil, because even in some of the schools of thought, Noble Drew Ali said that man is truth and falsehood strangely mixed. So now man has corrupted itself, and that's what happened when Adam and them went through their whole situation. The gods, or the Elohim, said that man has become as one of us to know good and evil, because we wasn't supposed to pick up that trait until we got more mature. Until man became more mature was he supposed to pick up that trait of evil. But we picked up the trait very, very early, or very premature, and was not able to handle that balance, because it is a higher and a lower self, and the lower self will always exist. But you have to find the higher self. So these trees have been used in all ancient texts to symbolize life all the way through. Now, people give the tree of life a lot of different names and this and that and whatever, whatever. But that's what I'm saying to you, what it represents to me, and how I look at the tree of life and how I look at humans. And if I look at somebody as a tree, and then I see a tree that needs nourishment or I see a tree that's withering, or I see a tree that its roots is exposed, then I will use some of my gardening techniques to promote growth in that particular tree and enhance that life. So I grow, you grow is much more than me planting vegetable gardens and helping people produce produce. I also, you know, if you take a coaching session from me, you take in, you know, I'm going to show you how to grow and different things like that, but you will find that, wow, this is helping me in a lot of different other aspects of my life, and I'll be, you know, helping you in aspects of your life, other aspects of your life, and you won't even realize it until later on down the line. So this is why I, you know, enjoy this platform where I can, you know, take it out of the business realm and the business relationship and really expose myself to people and let you know that it's growth on all levels that I'm promoting. But,
right.
You know, you are what you eat. So if I'm putting this kind of energy into the food that I'm teaching you how to eat and how to sustain and produce your produce and empowering you to eat what you grow, I'm empowering you to eat what you grow. But in the process of you growing, you're getting spiritual fruit, because you will know a tree by the fruits that it bears. Because if you become a tree, if you a tree, then you got to give off some type of fruit. So I know you by the fruit that you bear. And sometimes you can say the fruit is your children. Sometimes you can say the fruit is the work that you're doing, either in the community or whatever you're doing. So you know me by the fruits that I bear. If you go on my page, you're going to see me promoting seed, planting seeds in the youth. I run a youth garden program for small kids, and it's very hard to keep their attention span.
Oh, yeah.
They take to the gardening, and some of them kids can, you know, grow vegetables better than I can. They know how to make compost. They know how to take the collard greens out of the garden and do something with them other than put them in a pot with some pork. They know how to take them and make smoothies with the collard greens. They know how to take the sweet potato and use it. They know about kohlrabi. Most grown-ups don't know what kohlrabi is, but these children know what kohlrabi is. You know, so
beautiful.
That's what I am doing, and these little trees are considered to be saplings. So I'm dealing with trees on all levels, from the sapling all the way up to the sequoia. So this is what the tree of life symbolizes to me.
Right. Beautiful. Beautiful. beautiful and very powerful. We are here speaking with Mr. Anderson of iGrowYouGrow.biz. If you haven't got yourself over there to check that out, you definitely want to do that. www.igrow.biz. And you can sign up for the newsletter if you want to get one-on-one coaching. You can do that as well. Before we close out tonight, you're actually going to learn how to grow garlic, elephant garlic.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do that, and all you need is a bag, and you need some garlic, and we should all see some results coming out of that in just a couple of days. So we'll be talking about that, too. I know you guys have questions, and so, Mr. Anderson, we'll be taking some questions here, too, to get into that. Also, I want to invite you guys to go over to the Remix radio page over on Facebook, and I see some more of you have put some questions up. Really quick, Mr. Anderson, I want to kind of touch on some of these in the questions because some really good plants are coming up that people want to take with them, and maybe you can give us some insight on these particular plants. One of them I want to talk about is a collard tree. And are you familiar with that? I did like it. Nancy Lockhart, you guys know, the top country's leading analyst, had selected that, as well as Alexis K. Taylor. And she sent me some things about it, and I just kind of looked on this particular plant, and it seems very interesting. Tell us about the collard tree plant.
Okay. The collard the collard green tree or the collard tree is basically like a form of a kale. All of them are in the same family, the kohl family, which is like
right.
a part of the cabbage family. And that's where you get the term coleslaw, C-O-L-E. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think it's called coleslaw, C-O-L-D, because it's a cold salad. But it's cold
right.
because it's in the family of the cabbage. But the kale tree is a, it just gets really, really large. And it has
beautiful.
A thick, yeah, it has a thick, thick stalk. And it kind of produces big leaves all year round. And you can, I mean, it's like a cross between a, like a big collard green and a kale. It's a cross between those two. And it just spits out so much nutritional greens. And it I mean, it's phenomenal if you can grow one. And
right.
it'll come back, you know, year after year. It's almost a perennial in the right type of environment. But in the summertime, if it's too hot, it tends to go to seed, but you usually just let it go to seed, and it'll shoot out more seeds and, you know, reproduce itself over and over. Only experience I had with a kale tree was at the Habesha Garden, and one of the the guy over at the Habesha Garden in Atlanta, he brought back one from his friend in San Diego, and I've seen it grow there. So I haven't personally had one in my garden, but I have volunteered at the Habesha Garden, and they had one there. I don't know if it's still there. I hadn't been in a while. But, yeah, that's definitely a great plant to take with you, and it will also sustain you for a long time, and you'll get a lot of nutrients from that plant. So that is a very good choice to take with you.
Ah, very, very good. It is a beautiful plant, the tree collard. So it'd be interesting. I know Nancy said she's definitely going to be planting that, so we'll get to hear about that particular plant and see some more. I want us to go in before we start to take questions, and let's talk about, which is going to be really good, about food. As we think about it, and let me see, you have good for food and good for medicine. So
okay.
let's talk about some of those plants that are good for food and they're also good for medicine. And I know
okay.
garlic is going to be one of those, but
right.
and we'll get to talk about that as well, too.
Okay, so before we go on that, if you don't mind, I wanted to let people know in the Atlanta area, if you're in the Atlanta area, even if you, you know, farther than that, you can come. It'll be worth your time. November the 23rd, I am having a workshop, and the workshop is called the Growth Giving Workshop. Instead of Thanksgiving, I'm giving growth. So we'll be having a Growth Giving Workshop, and it'll be at Tarsilia's Raw Reality Restaurant in the West End of Atlanta on November the 23rd. Now, you need to sign up for the newsletter so that I can give you the links and the specific times and the prices and all that, because since I'm working with Tarsilia's group, we have to iron out a few more things, but we definitely got the date locked in, and this workshop is I'm going to be teaching you, giving you, you know, all the jewels you need to grow right here and now. Is going to be a sprouting class. So I'm going to be teaching you how to do sprouting, all the different ways of sprouting. You can do the sprouting in a jar. I'm going to show you how to do it in a jar. I'm going to show you how to do it in a bag. I'm going to show you how to do it in a bowl. I'm going to show you how to do it in a flat. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to show you how to do microgreens. I'm going to show you how to do your own wheatgrass, your own barley grass. I'm going to show you how to, you know, root some plants, just giving you all aspects of growth. And then, of course, I'll show you the, I'll go over the I Grow, You Grow methodology during the class. I will show you how you can use these winter months to set yourself up for the spring to come, so you can really, you know, put some time into it and really, you know, get that garden right this year, because a lot of people don't understand when they see those videos and things of that nature. I start out in the basement months and months before I ever go outside. I'm in the basement making my own fertilizer. I'm in the basement planting seeds. I'm got my mushrooms and logs, and I'm doing all these different things in the winter months. And that's the vehicle that we have to get into. We've become, you know, a generation of convenience. You know, we got apps and iPhones and iPads and things. We can just click it, click it, click it, and then 4G, it's going to be 5G, 6G. All is different G, but the path of the ancients is really the vehicle that we need to learn how to get into, where you dealing with things according to the moon and the season, where things happen in 28-day periods. I mean, not saying that things shouldn't happen fast, but when you dealing with, you know, producing your produce and getting into it, I mean, I can show you how to grow something in 3 days. Radish will manifest itself in 20 days. So it's some things that you can do that's quick, but to really do it for a long time and sustain yourself and produce produce, it starts in the winter months to get you to the spring months. Like it's a saying that January equals June. So the things that you do in January is going to dictate what you'll be getting in June.
Right.
Yeah. January equals June. That's 6 months. But the first 3 months, January, February, March, and then it goes outside, and then in June, that's when you harvesting and you enjoying what you did, but you started it way back in January. So please sign up for the newsletter. Be on the lookout on the Facebook page, through the emails and all of that. I'll be giving you the links and giving you more information on the Growth Giving Workshop on the 23rd of November. The Growth Giving Workshop on the 23rd of November. Mark your calendars. Be on the lookout for that. It'll definitely be worth it, showing you how to sprout, showing you how to do microgreens, showing you how to do your own wheatgrass, barley grass, kamut grass, all the different grasses. Do them wheat shots and all these things that you can grow. So,
yes, beautiful for that.
Yeah,
So,
and then hopefully I'll give Miss Blue the information and she can tell you guys again as it gets closer to that date.
Yes, and I'll make sure that I put it out. You guys, if you're in the ATL, that is definitely a class you want to take to be up close and personal with Mr. Anderson and be able to have these things there so that you can really, really build that connection. You know, we've done a lot of shows, and Mr. Anderson has come on himself and really talked about that connection between ourselves and the plant kingdom, because, you know, it is that give and take relationship. We talk about it all the time, and really those things when it comes to the fairy kingdom and all of that. Hold on. And, you know, all of those things, which is really, really great. I think it's great. One of the things that I do is feed my plants indoors and outdoors. I give them chaos water. And so, you know, because all of the things that we expel from ourselves, that is really we give off, plants take in as food and vice versa. So I just take at the end of the day, and I do it once a week. I don't do it every day. It's probably good to do every day. And I just take some warm water and put it in a bowl, and I sit my feet inside the bowl, and I meditate, really sending all of the energy in my body down throughout the bottom of my feet, which is where your first chakra, your root chakra, where that portal, that gateway is. And you'll know that it's working because the water will start to almost look like cloud. It'll start to kind of mist a little bit and look a little cloudy. We're around computers all day, electronic things. Things are different. Things are in our aura, from our environment, from our thoughts and things going on. And all of those things that I want to just release from myself and just dump that, I just begin to send that energy in, and I pour it in my plants, and they love it. Love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah.
I'm going to have to I'm gonna have to try that. I hadn't tried that.
Yeah, that's great. Love it. Oh my gosh, they love it. And then afterwards, I walk barefoot on the grass because, you know, that is a great way to ground yourself and really just neutralize all of that electricity that's moving through our bodies, through the soil and through the ground, wherever possible. So everyone has so many questions. I know we got a lot of things to cover. I would like for us to talk about, if this will be a good move for you before we take questions, let's talk about how we can grow things. If you guys haven't heard the shows with Mr. Anderson, you need to go back and download, because he has covered everything from how to take your pantyhose, your stockings, and grow plants, take a water bottle, and make plants and grow plants in it. There is absolutely no reason why, if you want to begin to get yourself into the aspect of having a garden, which we all should be touching the earth and really making that connection, because that is where we come from as well, too. You know, just that soil, our relationship we have together. And it's very grounding and very centering. It will also help you to open up different portals within yourself. If you feel your energy is stagnant and you no better way than to get out into nature and just begin to get your hands and your energy into the soil and working with plants. But he showed us across the board how you can grow just about anything. Anywhere, it doesn't matter where you are. You'll just have to do some different things, but you have to go back and get those shows. And by all means, if you're in Atlanta, you definitely don't want to miss the opportunity to get up close and personal with this brother and be able to just have him share this wealth of knowledge that he has with him.
So the garlic, that's what you want to deal with, right? Okay.
I want to talk about elephant garlic.
Okay, there you go. So also remind me what you said about the soil and getting your hands in the soil. Everybody always say, know thyself. Well, I can show you that actual soil is part of yourself. So if we get time for that,
we'll have time on that.
So as far as the garlic goes, now garlic right now is a vital plant that you can grow right now, and that it will stand up to the cold weather and different things of that nature wherever you are. And then you also, if you're in an apartment, a patio, a balcony, or you got a stoop or something to that effect, this technique will allow you to just whet your appetite and grow something. But you got to dedicate yourself to tending to this technique, or it won't work, because you're doing it in a bag. And when I say it's happening in a bag, what you're going to do, you're going to grow garlic in a bag. And the bag that you're going to get, you get it from a hardware store or Lowe's or Home Depot or Ace or one of these places. They'll have compost. They'll have compost in a bag. And it'll be whatever type of bag it is. They got manure compost. They got mushroom compost. Whatever you like. If you don't have manure, you can do the mushroom compost. But you need a bag of compost. And you get the bag of compost, you take the bag of compost home, you find a spot, you don't want to do this in your house now. You want to do this on the porch, the balcony, or something to that effect. You set that bag of compost where it is facing south. As south as it can get. It don't have to be directly south, but you want it due south. And if you can't get it due south, get it southeast or east. Put it on the east side. If you don't have a south side, put it on the east side. But you want it to be facing south. And you want to lay the bag down as if you was laying a pillow down to lay your head on it. So you got the bag laid down like it's a pillow. And then when the bag is laid down, you cut a cross in the bag. You should be able to get at least 4 to 6 cuts in the bag. So you space it out where you have a row at the top and a row at the bottom, and cutting crosses in the bag. It's a plastic bag. Some of them already have drainage holes in them, but if they don't, you want to put a little drainage hose on the bottom of it. Just stick a knife or stick a pin or something in the bottom hose, in the bottom part of the bag. And then in those crosses, what you're going to do is you're going to get elephant garlic. Now, we've done this a few years ago, and we just went and got regular garlic. But I've done research, more research and more trial and error, and I found garlic, elephant garlic, to be more conducive to this technique, and it's a lot easier to do than it is the regular white garlic that you buy in the store. The regular white garlic is soft neck garlic, and it has to go through a whole different, you know, a more of a dormant stage. But this elephant garlic is actually a lot better for this. And you go to the grocery store, any grocery store, Whole Foods Market, Walmart, HB, Publix, Kroger's, wherever, they should have elephant garlic. And it usually comes in like a little mesh thing, about $2, $2 or $3. And it's a bulb. It's a big bulb. It's a lot bigger than garlic that you used to seeing. That's why it's called elephant garlic, because it's really big. And it's actually not garlic. It's actually in the leek family, but it's very similar to garlic. It tastes like garlic, so you get an onion-garlic mix with this. So this is why, you know, I always try to give you something that's very multi-purpose, you know. So in a culinary sense, you'll have onion and garlic taste in one, you know, vegetable. Also, not to mention the medicinal uses for garlic and onion, you know, like the mucus factor. You can take the garlic if you have a mucus problem, and it'll help with the mucus. The garlic also, you know,
antibacteria for infection.
You can gargle with it. I mean, it does all types of stuff. I've even heard people take garlic and rub it on their baldness, and it's supposed to help activate hair follicles and different things of that nature. So just Google garlic, and you'll come up with all types of medicinal purposes, not to mention it makes the food taste great. So you get the elephant garlic, and when you get the elephant garlic, what you'll be holding in your hand is called the bulb. That's a bulb of elephant garlic. And if you can't find it, don't be scared to ask somebody. Say, I'm looking for some elephant garlic, and it's in the produce section, and they'll get it for you. So you got the bulb of elephant garlic, and then once you open the mesh net up and you peel it, skin away from it, and you break it up, each individual piece that you get is called a clove of garlic. So the whole one is a bulb, and then the individual one is a clove. And what you'll notice is you have a root at the bottom, like a little root part, and then you have a point part. It'll be a root part and a point part, the point or the tip part. So when you got that bag of compost, and you cut some slits in there, what you're going to do is take the root part and stick it down in this bag with the point sticking up. And then you got to kind of mush the compost around it to cover the elephant garlic. So the point, you need to have about an inch of compost on top of the point. So you want the root part down in the bag, and then you want, you know, the point sticking up, but you want the stuff to be covering it. And then each slit that you cut in the bag, you take a clove and put it in there and put some of the compost, just move the compost over on top of it. And then you water that bag. You water that bag and make sure that bag stays moist. If you're in a hotter climate, like, you know, the southern areas, and you're still getting 80-degree weather and you're still getting 70-degree days, you're going to have to water it more. If you're in a colder climate and the moisture ain't coming out of the bag, so what you do is you just stick your finger down in there, and if it's moist, then you don't have to water it. But if you see it's not moist, then you need to water it. But you definitely got to keep it watered. And what's going to happen is that clove is going to shoot like a green leaf or a green shoot up out of there in about 10 days. Sometimes if it's hotter outside, it may do it in 5 or 7 days. Just be patient with it. So what it's going to do is it's going to shoot the green up out of there. You'll see it. Like if you ever had some garlic in the refrigerator too long, it'll shoot that little green leaf out of there. That's what's going to happen. It's going to shoot that up out of there, and you just keep watering it. Keep it watered. Keep it moist. And no matter how cold it gets, it's going to continue to grow up out of there. Now, if it's snow, you need to wipe the snow off of it, you know. But it'll keep growing up out of there. And once it grow up out of there and you keep taking care of it, you know, taking pictures and posting them on the Remix page and all that, just keep it going, keep it going. And once it hit about 3 or 4 leaves on it, then you can harvest those leaves, or they'll be like just like spears or something like that. But you can harvest those. You can cut, you know, never cut all of them off. Leave 2 always on there. But you can cut those, and you can cut them up and use them, and you taste it. It'll have that garlic taste to it. It'll have that garlic flavor. So I'm saying that to let you know that the leaves are edible. So you can be eating the leaves, but you want to leave the part down in the thing, and you want to leave it throughout the whole winter. And through the winter, you just be harvesting the leaves and just cut enough of the leaves to season what you're trying to season or eat, you know, and stir fry or whatever you're trying to do with it, and just let it keep growing. And then when the springtime comes, you'll see the growth getting more vigorous. And the roots and stuff is going to be all in the bottom of that bag, and just they're going to be eating. The compost is the richest, you know, source, so they'll be feeding on that. And then by the time the weather starts heating up again, it'll start to try to shoot a little flower up out of there. And then when it starts to shoot that flower up out of there, that's when you can pull it out of the bag, and you need to let it sit in the sun and cure, and it'll be like the thing that you bought when you bought it in the store. It'll be as big as that. And it'll have that one clove will turn into a bulb of big elephant garlic. And you'll have your own garlic. Then you can braid it up and hang it in the kitchen and have your own garlic throughout, you know. So if you want to do 2 bags, you can do 2 bags. If you got room to do 3 bags or whatever, but definitely try you 1 bag. And then if you need more visual and more, I show you on my video. If you go to the youtube.com/igrowyougrow, my channel will come up and just scroll through my videos, and I got an elephant garlic video on the page or on the channel, and the elephant garlic, and I show you how to plant it and everything. And then I even take it a step further. I have the kids at the daycare that I mentioned before plant it.
Right.
You'll see a little 3-4-year-old planting elephant garlic. So if you know they can do it, you can do it. So, you know, that's the whole thing. If I grow, you grow. So I'm showing you that I can grow it. The kids growing it, you can grow it. But, yeah, definitely check the video out to see the visual. It'll give you a great visual. And then I explain a little bit more about the elephant garlic. And then I even give you some more tips and tricks on how to make it even more productive. You know, I use some of my lotions and potions and some of my house to garden remedies when I plant it. So I ain't going to give that away. I'm going to let you go seek it out because it's more valuable to you when you seek it out. So definitely check the video out on elephant garlic. So you're going to have to go to the channel. You have to scroll down because it's like 50-some videos on there. Scroll down and get to the one that say elephant garlic, and you'll see the whole shebang on the elephant garlic.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right, beautiful. So much information. I want you guys to definitely do that. I'm going to be doing my elephant garlic this year and taking some pictures and putting them up. So if you guys get your bag of compost, and there's a couple of different composts you can get, and you can either get the regular compost, right, Mr. Anderson, or you can get the mushroom compost. So either one of the composts that you want to get, those will work, and you can begin to work with it there. All right. So, yes, you can definitely work with that. So either one of those composts will work, yeah.
And then if you just got a pot, you know, a big pot, you could do it in a big pot too. But the bag is just more convenient because you don't have to go buy no pot and you don't have to buy a whole lot of soil to fill up the pot. You just stick it in the bag, and the bag is, you know, inexpensive, and, you know, you ain't out of no big investment. You're just getting your feet wet with this situation. But if you got pot, you definitely can do it in a pot. You know, same thing. Just make sure you put the root down and the point up and fill it, you know, and keep it watered. And it'll be, make sure it's, you know, getting at least 6 to 8 hours of sunlight. And it'll do the same thing in the pot.
Yep. And everything should cost you under $10, right, Mr. Anderson?
Yeah, under $10. The garlic gonna run you about $3. The compost, if you get the manure compost, it's about $1.50, $2. And the mushroom compost is a little more expensive, which it won't be over $5. So you're still under $10 for
right.
this experiment. So you produce some produce under $10.
And when you do begin to grow your own food, and you know that you've really put your time and your energy into it and made that connection, the benefits that you get back are really, as Ebony was saying in the chat room, is priceless because it tastes so different. It is completely different than food that's been at the grocery store that you may be picking up. This is really priceless because you've done it. It is a great project. So if you have young children or if it's just your family, yourself, really try to get others involved and really start to just get into the I Grow, You Grow philosophy. I want to put this out there because so many of you are asking questions, and we will open up the phone line for questions. If you want to know more about plants, and just really that connection when it comes to the emotional, the spiritual, the physical relationship between plants, then definitely you want to get over to igrowyougrow.biz and check out and sign up for the newsletters. You'll get the videos and everything that Mr. Anderson is doing. There's nobody on the planet that I know of at this time that has really connected with this energy more than him. So you can definitely get that information. I call it green magic, all of that green magic, his products he has, and just everything that he's working on. Mr. Anderson is going to be coming out with a book soon. I hope I didn't speak too prematurely on that, but he'll be coming out with a book
not
soon.
At all, not at all. Yeah, that's motivation to get the wheels turning faster.
Yes, I'm so excited about this, you guys, and I can't wait for you guys to just hear the stuff that's going to be in the book, because it's going to be powerful, it's going to be life-changing, and in a way we've never heard it, really coming from a brother that really is connected on that realm, and really mixing into the spiritual elements in it. You can also get the book, The Secret Life of Plants. And this is going to give you some basic understanding about plants that if you don't know. So coupled with all of these things together, you should have your green thumb going and growing in no time.
Yeah, and I wanted to say to people, too, if you've tried to grow things and it didn't grow as good for you, or it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to turn out, don't be discouraged, because that's trial and error. And, you know, you use a trial when you're gardening as a tool to dig into the earth and different things of that aspect. So you just need to just continue at it. It's a God-given right. You was put here to be fruitful and multiply in both aspects, you know, with your spouse and with the, you know, bringing forth your own food. So, you know, don't give up if you had tried it one time and it didn't work, or you didn't find time to water it, or you got busy and carried away with life and different things of that nature. Maybe it wasn't the right time. So don't get discouraged. If I grow, you grow. You know, I share my defeats with you as well as my victories. You'll see things that didn't turn out right. You'll see when rabbits ate up my crop eating up my beans or, you know, something done got to my, you know, I mean, I share the good and the bad with you to let you know that, you know, sometimes it doesn't always go your way. You got to, you know, plant for loss prevention. I talk about loss prevention.
Yeah.
Any corporation you deal with, they always deal with loss prevention and cost of poor quality because things are going to happen, you know. So you will suffer some defeats, but each defeat makes you a better gardener. You learn from that experience. So don't let, you know, one bad experience set you back. And also be safe when you're in the garden too, because if you have a gardening accident or you push your back or do something wrong, that'll kind of turn people off from gardening as well. It is physical labor. You do need to hydrate yourself. You do need to bend at the knees. You do need a hat. You need gloves. You know, I mean, you can go out there without it, but, you know, you need to be mindful that you have to be safe as well, because, you know, you're dealing with pruning shears and all different types of things. So, you know, when you put your rake down, don't put your rake face up or your shovel face up and you forget that it's there and step on it and boom, hit yourself in the head. You see it on the cartoons, but it really does happen. So stab your shovel in the ground when you ain't using it. Turn your rake prong side down into the ground. You know, just be safe, because there's a lot of things that, you know, can and will go wrong if you're not mindful of it.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right, well, lots of things going on here in the remix. If you guys aren't in the chat room, always some very great conversations going on there too as well. And Mr. Anderson definitely always brings it every time he comes on. We learn so much from you, so it's always an honor to have you here on the forum, and we can continue to learn and to grow. I'm just going to kind of give out some of the other plants that people would take with them, and then we're going to take some calls.
Okay.
First, I want to say, let's see, aloe vera plant is one that's getting a lot of votes over here on the Remix Radio. Marijuana plant, someone said that they would take. And this is the one thing that they would take to survive. And, of course, we know it has medicinal usage as well, too. Dandelion root.
Dandelion root and the dandelion flower and the dandelion leaf. The flower, you can make wine out of it, dandelion wine. You can make wine out of the dandelion. It'll ferment and you can make wine out of it. The leaves are edible. They're very bitter. The younger they are, the less bitter they are. But if you get used to the bitterness of it, I've learned that the bitter the plant, the more cancer-fighting agents that it has in it. So I just learned that from a gentleman that I was talking to, Dr. B. You might know him. He was telling me about the bitterness in the plant. And why you get that bitterness, and it's because it's it has more cancer-fighting agents in it. So that dandelion is very bitter. But the root, when you roast the root or use the root, it is very tasty. It's very tasty, the root part of it. And it also is very helpful to the liver. The dandelion is very helpful to the liver. So if you know, like to indulge in alcoholic beverages and things of that nature, you can definitely counterbalance that by drinking some dandelion root tea in the morning and different things like that, so that you can, you know, help your liver from recover from the good time that you had the night before.
Helping out that liver, yes, yes, yes. And that was Ebony, I believe, who said that that's the one that she would be taking with her, the dandelion. So excellent. And then there is the mango tree.
Wow, yeah, the mango tree. Yeah, I've heard about the mango trees and how abundant they are I imagine that would definitely be a good one. I love mangoes. But if you take that with you, you're going to have to stay in the South.
Okay. All right, beautiful. And so some of the other things, I want to talk about the other question really quick, and then we're going to go to the other question is, question for tonight when we ask what plants, if you were a plant, what plant would you be? Hemp plant, of course, you know, Dr. Yu said that, and we talked about that. Some people would be the aloe vera. The stargazer.
I don't know what that is. Somebody going to have to enlighten me on that.
They don't have to. Okay. All right. Yeah. That's fine. Venus starts, the Venus flytrap.
The Venus flytrap. I've seen that. They sell that now in a lot of the stores. And it's the plant. I think it's a succulent. And what it does is it gives off a little aroma that attracts its prey. More times than not, it's a fly. And once the fly, you know, gets in it, it traps it, and it eats the fly. Now, the benefits to the human, I'm not really sure what it would benefit the human, but we definitely need to, like say, if it was the Noah's Ark situation and each one of us is taking a plant, so we're going to further that plant in the kingdom when we get to the other side, so we definitely need it.
Yes, yes, and the stargazer is a lily. This is if you could be a plant, these were the bees. So there are some people who want to be the Venus flytrap. Esther came up with that. And then the Eye of Kemet is is a stargazer, and Dr. Yu is saying the Venus flytrap is good for your immune system. I would think so, because it looks like, you know, that's that plant that they show you that, you know, sometimes when we remember in some of the children's stories that can actually eat people, you know, and the Venus flytrap. So, yes, yes, yes. All right, you guys. Well, we're going to take some questions, and at this particular time. And then somebody saying they didn't even know the Venus flytrap was edible. But pretty much that's true for almost everything that is in the plant kingdom, is that it is edible. Mr. Anderson, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. So, mostly, you know, a lot of plants are edible, and then you have to do certain things to them to make them more palatable to yourself. Because for a long time, people thought that the tomato plant was poisonous.
Yes.
I'm glad they figured that out, because I love the tomato. I would have hated for that to be poisonous. Then I understand that the cashew, one part of the cashew is poisonous, but the part that we eat is not. Or something, you know, so it's a lot of different plants that are edible, or you need to make them into a tea or a tincture or a salve. Or
yes,
something like that.
Right. And just definitely you want to do your research. There is actually ways that you can. I know there you can take a lot of nature walk, and you can see, because nature has a way of approaching us and really communicating with us, that you can actually look at a plant and really make that connection between those and what their uses are. Some things will be for, like you said, the external side of the body, and some things that you can actually digest. And it will let you know what those things are for and how to use them. So really, really cool. Well, we're going to open up the phone lines, if that's okay with you, Mr. Anderson. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press 1 when you get on the phone lines if you have a question for Mr. Anderson, that we can begin to take those questions. So I see the phone lines are already lighting up, and people already have their questions coming up. So here we go. We're going to go to the first caller calling in, it looks like, from area code 347. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes, greetings. Who's on the line?
Hey, Louis F. What's going on? Jeez, Ms. Anderson, how are you?
I'm great.
All right. I
Ebony?
Have sort of, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Greetings, Ebony.
Peace to you, brother. I have a quick question, sort of like a trifecta, but it's like one question with like three questions in it.
Okay.
Can you, and what crystals would you recommend to use with growing your plants? The growing your vegetables, your food.
Right.
Can you incorporate crystals, and which ones would be beneficial, and can you or shouldn't you?
Well, I'm actually not a crystal guy, but I do know that I've seen people go on crystal hunts, and they grow a lot of crystals here in Georgia. So I know that it's very beneficial to the soil, and I really hate that I can't expound on it a lot. And that's one thing that I don't do. If I'm not versed in that subject, I won't lead you on. I don't know much about crystals. Now, it's certain other things that I can tell you that you need to incorporate when you're growing, and that's copper. You need to incorporate copper when you're growing vegetables and your plants in indoors and outdoors, because I know that the copper brings in nitrogen oxide from the air, and it actually pulls energy in from the air and gives it to the plant. So it's like kind of like on a rainy day, you walking around on the carpet and you touch the doorknob, you get a shock.
Right.
That energy has come through you, or you rub a balloon on your hair and the balloon will stick to you because it's got that energy. So if I know to incorporate copper when I'm doing different things for that magnetism, and a lot of metals and nylon, pantyhose, they also, when you rub pantyhose, you know you get that static electricity. That's good for the plants. But as far as crystals, I have to defer to another person. Maybe Ms. Boo knows some things about the crystals.
Yeah.
Okay, definitely.
Yeah.
So let me ask you with the, I'm sorry, Boo, not to cut you off, but with the copper, would I have to, like, actually go and get, like, copper wire? Or can I use pennies before 1980? Because, you know, they have the most copper in them.
Yeah. You can use pennies.
All right. You
can use pennies. And you also, like, at the Lowe's and the Home Depot, if you go into the plumbing section, they have the little copper couplings, and they have the little copper rods for a couple bucks. And you can
everything in Home Depot.
You can even make your trellis if you really want to invest. They got the T coupling, they got the elbow coupling. So you have to make a trellis for your cucumbers or a trellis for your tomatoes. If you really want to get involved, you can make a trellis out of the copper, with the fittings and the couplings and things of that nature, and you would be amazed how your vine vegetables grow up that copper and how much energy they get from that copper.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you so much for this information, truly.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
So, make sure you stay in touch with me, Ebony.
Oh, I'm going to make sure, because, see, you won't have to answer my first question. I'm going to come back to you for it now. You're going to have to do your research.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get back to me.
Exactly. So when you sign up for the newsletter, it'll allow you to ask that question. So put it on there so it'll always be with me and I can get back to you.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you.
Yes. And beautiful. If you do want to work with crystals, though, some of the crystals you can use is the same that you make the elixirs with, which is going to be like the clear quartz crystal, which is excellent. You can use the clear quartz crystal to do that. You can even use amethyst. You can use a lot of them. But what you really want to do, if you just want to take a crystal particularly and put it near your plants, if you have any of the geodes, they have the vibration and the frequency that is already connected. So those are perfect. So you can actually just take, I know people who take, and I have some clear quartz crystals that I just put around my plant because it just enhances that frequency, particularly when it comes in your sacred space. That's really going to just amp that energy up. So if you have an amethyst geode, you can actually place it near your particular plant. This is going to work well. Those two work in harmony with each other there in the environment, because I have an amethyst crystal that I put near my bamboo plant, and it is huge. It just really, that vibration, that energy, and that frequency, it just keeps raising it, raising the energy. So you can kind of look at it as a layering effect. You can do that as well. So
you can actually put it. No, sorry, again, I asked that question because I don't know if you remember a couple of months ago, I put up a picture of a crystal that was a clear quartz
yes,
crystal
I remember.
That I had put in an aloe plant, and the crystal was like green.
Yes.
It's green.
Because
and so what I've been doing, I've been putting it in
that.
All my aloe plants. And so it's like the plants are like, they're thick, they're firm, they're juicy, all of that.
Yes.
So I wondered if it could work for food too, you know?
Yes. It really can. You can do that. And in fact, you know, there are healing elixirs that you can make, and you can do that. In Queen Afua's book, she actually goes through a lot of those elixirs in Heal Thyself and also the City of Wellness book, where she shows you how to take the emeralds, the amethyst, and the rose quartz, and also the clear quartz crystal, and to make elixirs that you can actually drink yourself, and you can also give that energy to your plants as well. But the clear quartz will do almost like a chameleon. So it'll begin to take on a lot of that energy. What they're doing is they're communicating with each other, the crystal and the plant. They're communicating because they came from each other, you know, that whole, you know, where the crystals come out. So that communication is going on. And I find that the rooms that I have those, a lot of crystals in and a lot of plants, that the vibration is just very, very high. It raises the energy and the frequency. Excellent, excellent question,
All
Ebony.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. I ain't going to keep you because, you know, I'm going on and find more questions to ask.
Yes,
I got to be fair.
Yes.
So thanks again. Thanks again, Dr. Mr. Anderson. Believe me, you will be hearing from me after I sign up on that email.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Peace. Beautiful, beautiful piece. Beautiful question. Thank you, Ebony. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 765. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
How you doing this evening? My name is Salik. I'm calling from Anderson, Indiana.
Okay, greetings.
Greetings, Salik. How you doing, Ms. Blue? Mr. Anderson?
Greetings. Yeah.
Great.
Hey, my question was, I had ran across something in the Bible called mandrakes, and I was wanting to know if you were familiar with mandrakes, and if you were, where, if any place that you could find something like mandrakes, or are they, if they, you know, I know a lot of stuff that are not around plants and or what have you, and I didn't know if that was one of the plant that may have faded out over time, or
I'm familiar with the story about the mandrake, and I've tried to do research on the mandrake as well. That it was given to the brother so that he would be more sexually heightened, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So I really can't pinpoint what the modern day plant would be today, but I can give you some plants that does the same thing that the mandrake did in the scripture that you're referring to.
All right.
What you want to do modern day now is get you some fenugreek. Fenugreek is an aphrodisiac.
How do you spell that?
Fenugreek is F-E-N-G-R-E-K, fenugreek. It may be a U in there somewhere. Ms. Blue, type that up right quick.
I certainly will.
Yeah, fenugreek. In fenugreek, you can use the seeds, the leaves. You can sprout the fenugreek. You can use it, you know. It's in a lot of the curries, like the turmeric powder and stuff like that. They also use it to dye fabric because the seed is like a yellowish mustard color. But the fenugreek is one of the highest aphrodisiac plants that you can get. Arugula has been said to have aphrodisiac effects.
What?
Arugula.
Arugula.
A lettuce called arugula. Or rocket. They either call it rocket or arugula.
Rocket.
In America, arugula. In America, it would be more called arugula. A R U G U L A, but fenugreek is the one you want to go for, and you go to help.
Fenugreek. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to give this spelling. It's F E N U G R E E K, fenugreek.
Okay.
Yeah, fenugreek. Yeah, fenugreek. So, I can't pinpoint what the mandrake is, but I know what it was used for. And in this day and age, we got several plants, but if I was recommending one for you on that tip, get you some fenugreek, grow you some fenugreek, and that'll work for you. And also, rosemary, herb rosemary is also always good for blood circulation. And blood circulation is the key to what you're trying to do in that area, or if it's, you know what I'm saying?
I understand you.
Yeah, the better the blood flow, the better the blow. So,
Exactly.
So get you some rosemary, and, you know, you can cook with the rosemary. You can make a tea with the rosemary, or like a soup with the rosemary, like mushroom and rosemary soup is really, really good. Steep some mushroom and some rosemary together. It's not, you know, it's going to be a strange taste to you, but you'll get used to it. And then if you got, like, headaches, they recommend rosemary for that too. But rosemary helps with the blood flow. So fenugreek and rosemary, you'll be doing it.
Okay, okay. I heard you earlier. You said something about Facebook, so I should be able to connect with you on Facebook under Mr. Henderson or
under I Grow You Grow.
I Grow You Grow.
I G R O W U G R O W. You can get through it on that, and then you can if you go to the website igrowyougrow.biz, it's a newsletter you can sign up for. And when you sign up for the newsletter, it'll send me an email. And then every time I do some or I make a correspondence, you know, it'll hit you that way too.
Okay. All right. Hey, I just have one other thing. Ms. Blue, I was wondering, what would I have to do to get a reading? Are you talking about the readings all the time? And I've kind of been reluctant, but the last couple of weeks I've been getting through, so I said, well, I'm going to max it out. So I just want to know.
No problem. All you have to do is email me question, QUESTION, the number 4, blue, @gmail.com. Just send me an email. That's all. Yep. Or you can catch me here on the show, yes.
All right. Y'all have a great night.
All right. You too. Peace
Thank
and
you
love.
Calling.
Great
Thank
question.
You for
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Great question. Yeah. All right, you guys, look at everybody trying to get some fenugreek. Trying to get some fenugreek. All right, we're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code. calling in from area code 770. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
That's Atlanta, ain't it?
Yes,
Hello?
That's the ATL. Yes, greetings. Who's on the line?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Who's on the line?
My name is Tasha. I'm calling from Atlanta.
All right.
Okay. But I just had a couple of questions, more so in regards to, can you expound a little bit more on you are what you eat?
Okay.
I was hoping that you can kind of, you know, tell me a little bit more about that.
Okay. So, you know, that's an age-old saying that you are what you eat. But the way I would explain it to you is I have been trying to draw a parallel between the plant and the human throughout all my conversations to make people understand that you are what you eat, not in the aspect of eat healthy food, you'll be healthy, but you actually are what you eat. So you're like a plant. So the plant is 70% water. You're 70% water. The plant has the seed within itself. You have the seed within yourself. The plant is a direct result of being planted in the ground. Man's origin in all of the different ancient texts, it says that the man came from the ground. All the way back to Hinnu in Egypt say that the man was made from clay. Clay comes out the ground. The Greeks, they say they made the man from mud, so forth and so on. The Bible say that the man was formed out of the soil of the ground and he breathed into his life and he became a living soul. So the plant comes from the ground, you come from the ground. So you are what you eat. The plant and the human are synonymous.
Oh.
Does that kind of give you a little perspective or a broader perspective of you are what you eat?
I think so. Yeah, it does. So thank you.
So you have any more questions, Tasha?
Well, I mean, I was just more so trying to get, you know, the information just in regards to that. No, I don't think at this moment I'm quite capable of you know, kind of expounding on that a little bit more. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, and also, you know, you eat good food, it'll help you. If you're eating a lot of fast food, of course, then you're going to be a fast food person. And fast food breaks your skin out and all these different kind of things. But also, since you're in Atlanta, I'd like for you to come out to the growth giving class that we have in here in Atlanta in the end of November, November 23rd, if you can mark your calendar.
Okay, yeah, that would be great. Let me see, how would I do that? Where are you located?
The place is going to be in the west end of Atlanta, but I tell you what you do, go to the website, igrowyougrow.biz, igrowyougrow.biz, and sign up for the newsletter. And when you sign up for the newsletter, just ask the question, where is the Growth Giving Workshop? And then I'll be able to correspond with you and give you the link and give you more details and all of that type of stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in. Peace and blessings to you. All right. We've got some great questions. We're going to keep going. Mr. Anderson, live here in the forum, you guys, from igrowyougrow.biz. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. If you have a question, press 1 when you get on the phone line so we know you're here for a question. And I don't think I went to this caller, but I'm going to go again. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 646. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 646. All right. I think we, 646, I guess they pressed the button and didn't come on. So now, until we can keep going, because we have about 30 minutes left here to go in the forum to continue to talk about all of the amazing things. I know some of the other things that you wanted to talk about is dressing and keeping.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So with the dressing and keeping aspect of gardening, this is something that you have to be mindful of. Once you get yourself involved with growing your own food and starting a garden, it's not just to throw the seed out there and then hope that it come up. It's going to be some work involved with it. Just like you have to,
you have to
get up every morning. You have to get yourself enough time to get dressed. And then you have to keep your surroundings clean and tidy and, you know, available so that you can move around and that you can operate. So you definitely need to consider that it's going to be a lot of dressing and keeping. You're going to have to deal with the labor. You're going to have to deal with the maintenance. You got to put some time in. Like, you know,
yes,
when you plant something, you know, once you get on a watering cycle, you have to, if you water in the morning when you need the water in the morning, so you got to set your alarm clock 20 minutes early so that you can get up and take care of that business before you head off into the matrix or the regular day. So
yes,
you got to be mindful of the dressing and keeping part of gardening, just like in your life. You know, if you got a reputation of always being late for everything, that automatically tells me that your dressing and keeping skills are thirsty. You know, you should be 10 minutes prior to something.
Right.
When you're dealing with something, you should be 10 minutes prior. That way, if anything go wrong, you're still there on time. And it
That's
shows
right.
that you're prepared. You know, you got to always be prepared. If you say ready, you don't have to get ready. It's just that type of thing. Then you have to consider how you're going to nourish the garden. Once you got it all dressed and tidy, now how are you going to keep it growing? How are you going to keep the cultivation growing? And are you going to be a one-hit wonder? You're going to do one season and stop, or you're going to continue to produce your produce year-round so that in the winter months, you're harvesting in the winter months. And then in the early spring months, you're harvesting. You're always harvesting, but you got to be planting. You got to be reaping and sowing. It's a continual thing, and this all goes into your dressing and keeping aspect of things. Also, in your life, you can't get stagnant. If you, you got to continue to plant seeds and set goals and keep going in your life. And then you got to figure out how to protect your garden or protect the seeds that you're planting in your mind. You can't always share everything with everybody. You got to protect it until it gets mature enough to where it's ready to be out in the elements and the harsh weather and amongst the weeds and the tares and things of that nature. So that's just an aspect of gardening that you can segue into your life. So you got to make time to get dressed on your regular, you know, your regular day-to-day routine. You need to make time to dress your garden and to keep your garden and, you know, always be focused on how you're going to feed your garden, how you're going to keep the weeds out of it, how you're going to keep the pests out of it. Are you making your own pest, you know, making your own pest control? Like I show you how to do garlic oil and dish soap as a pesticide, how I'm going to keep the rabbits out. Predator urine, you know, all these different aspects you have to think about, just like in your day-to-day life, you know, with your ideas and your goals and your aspirations. So that's just a little aspect of gardening that I use to help me in my day-to-day life.
Right. Beautiful. Beautiful and very powerful, and definitely something that is well needed, you know.
Well needed. Mm-hmm. The know thyself question.
Oh, yes.
I wanted to make sure we touched on that.
Okay.
Because we spoke about the earth and being a part of the soil and all of those types of things. So from dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return, because I spoke about man briefly coming out of the soil. And, you know, people say, well, that's just a story or whatever. But it's several ancient texts that talk about man coming from the soil. All of them, the Chinese, Panu talks about how man was created from the drops. The tears of Panu dropped in the river and it hit the water and the soil that came up became men. The Zulu tradition, they had a guy called Unkalunka, and he came from the reeds, and out of the reeds he made everything that was. So plants come out of the ground. The Greeks, they said that the Prometheus, he was punished because he didn't fight the Titans in Olympia, and his job was to create man, and he made man out of the mud. And the Bible, like I said again, said that you come out of the dirt. So I'm saying all that to say, why are these scriptures making all this reference to man coming out of dirt? Because the elements that's in the dirt, like I said before, you take these vitamins for this iron and this calcium and this potassium and this, all of these things are in the soil. And when you die, you go back to the soil. They put you in the box, and eventually the box breaks down and everything, and your body decomposes. And all the elements that you are return back to that soil and break down into that soil. So you actually are returning to your origin, which is the soil. So if you know the soil and all the things that are in the soil, because that's like the mother. That's why they call it Mother Earth, because out of earth comes gold. Out of the earth comes oil. Out of the earth comes diamonds. Out of the earth comes the silver, the platinum, the titanium. All these things come out of the earth, so it's Mother Earth. So you return back to your mother, and this is your origin. So the better that you know this soil, as you get to work with this soil, you get to create from this soil, you get to plant seeds in this soil, the better you know this soil, the better you know yourself. So a lot of people say know thyself, and they tell you that this is something that you got to do. Well, I offer you learn about the soil and the earth and everything that's coming out the earth and how to produce from the earth, and it will bring you closer to yourself, to knowing yourself, and even your higher self. So this is how I use this gardening as a vehicle and a gateway to the higher self, because I learn more and more and more about myself and more and more and more about people the further I investigate on the soil and how the soil is. And I've even ran into some studies where it's a science, or it's a term called geophagy. Geophagy. And what geophagy is where people actually eat soil. They use it as a nutrient, like this red clay in Alabama and stuff like that. They use the soil as some type of laxative and nutrition. But I'm just saying all that to say that how vital this soil is, and knowing thyself through the cultivation of the earth and the cultivation of the soil, and how to decompose things, and how the decomposition process works. As you get more and more in tune to that, it will lead you to knowledge of self and even the higher self.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful. That is beautiful. 19 minutes left to go in the forum. We're still going to be taking calls here from Mr. Anderson. I do want to take this time so that you can begin to speak about some of the things that you have, like your rings that you have, your grow rings that you have, and what they do and how people can actually get them as well.
Okay. So I have a product called the Magic Grow Ring. And the Magic Grow Ring is a product that I came up with over time. I take some household items and I make it into a ring with fertilizer and stuff. And the ring is like, it's like a pouch that's in a semicircle. And you can take this pouch and put it around the base of the plant, like a tomato plant is geared towards a tomato plant, squash plant, you know, heavy feeding plants, fruiting plants, okra, all these different type of plants that have, you know, one stem. And you put it around the stem, and then you put the dirt on top of it. And you always water your plants at the base of the plant. And what the magic part about this is, because of the material and different things that I use on this ring, when you water it in one moon phase, we talked about the moon phase, so in 28 days, 29 and a half days, you water this once a week optimally. If you're in a dry area, you will water more, but once a week optimally watering this, and 29 and a half days of one moon cycle, if you pull that dirt back, that magic grow ring is going to be done disappeared. And the reason why it disappeared, because it went through the decomposition process, that food was taken in by that plant and it was absorbed, and that plant is promoting so much growth that you got like a magic grow ring, and you get four grow rings for $10, and
yeah.
that'll get you through, you know, if you use it on one plant, that'll get you through a whole season. That'll get you through a whole season, so you have, you know, 30, you have 90 days. You get three grow rings for $1, for $10, and that'll get you through one whole growing season. So you do this for your tomatoes, you'll have a bumper crop of tomatoes, and you just change it out every 28 days. And you don't have to have a calendar or nothing. You can just look at the moon, what phase the moon is when you put it on there. And then the next time that moon is at that phase, you put another one on there. And you'll have optimal growth in an organic situation, because the product is totally biodegradable. It's organic or original, and it'll feed the plant throughout the whole growing season. That's one product. And then I have the purple tiger pepper seeds. It's a seed that I have started to cultivate, and where you can buy this seed from me, and it's just a hot pepper seed, but it's a tri-colored pepper. The pepper plant goes in three different colors. It starts out purple, then it fades into a yellowish green, and then it goes into a red color. And the leaves are variegated, which means the leaves have a purple, white, green color. So it's like a very beautiful pepper plant, and it's a hot pepper plant. I have a video up to advertise it and show you what this plant is. And that's the first seed that I'm offering. But I've been, you know, proving seeds so that I can start my own seed stock and offer seeds.
Yes.
Because a lot of people are leery about GMO seeds and Monsanto seeds and all this different kind of stuff. But when you grow the stuff, you should be learning how to harvest the seeds so that you don't have to go buy seeds from nobody. Because each
right.
plant, like I said before, the seed is in itself. It'll create its own seed, and you can plant two or three of them, use one of them for a seed and one of them for eating and stuff, and let one of them go to seed, and you use it. Tomatoes, you can reuse the seed. Okra, you can get the seed from it. Squash, you can get the seed from it. All of the things that you plant, you can use the seed. Now, if you go to the grocery store and buy some of that stuff, I can't vouch for their seed. So, you know, if you get a cucumber out the store, maybe you get an organic one, the seed may be good and it'll produce. But some of these plants you get at the grocery store, they be seedless varieties or stuff like that, and they might not produce. So when you're buying seeds, make sure you get heirloom seeds. And I have, so I had a magic grow ring, I had a seeds, and then I also offer garden coaching via the phone. So you'll be coached for an hour on everything from growing to prepping to dressing to keeping to, you know, harvesting to pest control to setting up the garden, keeping the garden, transitioning from one season to the next season. All of these things will be covered in a coaching session. Also, if you're in the Atlanta area, I do on-site coaching where I actually come out to your site or where you live at, and I coach you right there and walk you through and show you where and how and what and when and the whole nine yards. So that's available on the website as well. So we got quite a few things for you on the website that you can, you know, go to the marketplace. You'll be supporting, you know, small business, veteran, all that good stuff.
Beautiful, beautiful. We're going to go to the phone lines. Quite a few people have questions that they want to ask. We have about 12 minutes left to go in the form. So calling in, it looks like, from area code 415. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Fetty Brown calling from San Francisco.
Greetings, Fetty.
Greetings.
Greetings, Miss Blue, Mr. Anderson. You know, I just bought a snake plant because I have low light in my apartment, and I was wondering, how do I keep the millibugs off the plant?
What type of bug again?
Mealy. Aphids, I guess. Or mealybugs?
Oh, the aphids, aphids. Okay, okay. What you need to do for the aphids is you can get some soap. It's the soap in the you get it in the laundry section. It's a bar of soap. It's called Fels Neptar. F-E-L.
Okay. Uh huh.
It's called Fels Neptar, and it comes in a bar though. It comes in a bar. And it's like 99 cents. I know you can get it at Walmart, mostly all grocery stores, but it's going to be what a washing powder or the laundry detergent is. And it's a bar of soap called Fels Neptar.
Okay, how do you spell that? The last. Okay, go ahead.
F-E-L N-A-P-H-T-A.
Oh, okay. Okay, great.
F-E-L, Fels Neptar. Now, when you get that bar of soap, this is how you got to process it into a product that you can use to spray on your plant. So
okay.
you gotta get some boiling water. You need a spray bottle, so you got to get a spray bottle, maybe a quart spray bottle, any kind of spray bottle. And what you're going to do is you're going to bring some water to a boil and then shade some of the soap into the water. And let the soap dissolve into the hot water. And then, of course, let the water with the soap in it cool down. You don't want it to be thick. You want the soap to be in there. It's going to be like a yellowish, cloudy color, but you don't want it too thick. So just a few shavings, maybe a handful of shavings, a table shavings into the water. Let the water cool down. Don't let it get super cold, but let it cool down. Then pour that into the spray bottle and spray that on your plant. Spray that on your plant, and then that'll take care of the aphids.
Okay.
Yeah, you spray that on the plant and care of the aphids. Now, it also could be spider mites. Indoors, it could be spider mites, too. And another thing you can do is on the where the soil is,
yes.
you can put play sand. hardware store, you can get a bag of plant sand, like what they have in the sandbox.
Oh,
and
okay.
You sprinkle the plant sand in on top of your regular soil. And the reason why you're doing that is because each one of them aphids or spider mites, what they do is they eat on your leaf, and then they go down to the base of the plant, and they lay eggs. And then they eggs hatch, and the eggs crawl up the base of the plant, and they start the life cycle all over again. But with that sand down there, once that egg hatch or whatever, or they go to lay that egg on the soil, they're going to walk across that sand, and that sand is like glass to them, and it'll cut them.
Oh, okay.
And you won't be able to continue that cycle on your plant. So that's two different things you can do to stop them from eating on your house plant.
Okay, yes. Oh, thank you so very much, Ms. Anderson. I really appreciate this information.
All right, so sign up for the newsletter and stuff so you can let me know how it turned out.
Okay, I sure will. Thank you, Ms. Blue, Ms. Anderson.
You're welcome.
Okay, peace and love.
Peace and love to you. Thanks for calling in as well, too.
Okay.
All right. All right. Beautiful, beautiful. We have about 8 minutes left to go in the forum, Mr. Anderson, and you've given us so much tonight. I want you to just take us out, leave us with some more words of wisdom from everything that you do about iGrowYouGrow.biz.
Okay. So the one thing I want to say in closing is that always look at things from the perspective of a seed and, you know, take things from the perspective of a seed. And then in your regular life, your thoughts are seeds. So you want to put your seeds in the optimal growing position and the optimal growing environment. If you plant a seed in the dirt, it needs a period of germination. So it's going to go through a triple stage of darkness, and it needs the moisture and the darkness, and then it'll germinate and it'll sprout. Well, in your head, you need to, you know, plant some good seeds in your head. Keep yourself really hydrated because your brain is, you know, floating in water. So you need to have the proper hydration, and you need to plant these goals in your head or these thought seeds in your head. And you need to ponder on them in the darkness. Close your eyes and think about the seeds that you're planting for a couple of days. And then let that idea germinate. And as it starts to grow, then you give it light, like an idea. Because when you have an idea, they always illustrate it by a light bulb coming on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, or when you have, you know, a lot of good thoughts and things is happening and you tend to be smart, they call you bright. Because you have let that seed germinate, and now you turn the light on it because it's going to reach for the light. So you give it a lot of light. You give the things that you plant, you give it time to germinate, then you give it light. And then once you give it light, you continue to water it, dress it, keep it, nourish it, protect it, do all of these different things the same way you would when you plant a seed. Do that in your regular life when you have a thought or a goal or something that you want to do. And you can take these principles of gardening and you can segue them into your life. And you can take your life experiences and segue them into your garden. So definitely get out there and try to do some growing. Several free resources for you that'll motivate you and inspire you on the YouTube channel. You know, the newsletter, you can keep in touch with me with that. You can send me emails, questions, just all kind of things because I want to promote growth.
Beautiful, beautiful. Mr. Anderson, you guys, Mr. Anderson of iGrowYouGrow.biz. Lots of great things here. We're going to be looking forward to everyone getting out their bags and growing their seeds, their elephant garlic, and working with all of those elements of nature and continuing as well, too. Mm.
All right. Good deal. So I see we got people signing up for the newsletter. That's great. Thank you again for having me on, Ms. Blue. And like I say, I'll be in touch with you and give you more information on the Growth Giving Workshop that we have in here in Atlanta. And, we'll always be tuning in, and I'll go on the Facebook and do some interacting with the Facebook. So now you gotta tell us what plant you would like to be, and then what plant you would take with you.
Let's see. If I could be a plant, if I was a plant, I'll tell you what first came to me was the lotus. The reason I would say the lotus is because one thing about the lotus flower is it really is a beautiful plant, and when you see it from the surface and you see its bloom, you really don't know how much work it took to really get to that stage. So it grows out of sort of that muddiness of the earth, so it's very well grounded. And it pushes mm-hmm. through a lot of different pressures in the water, which is the emotion. And then it still comes into full bloom as the lotus. So mm-hmm. if I could be a plant, it would be the lotus, because the lotus
right
really
on.
Just gives a full experience of life, of living. When I think mm-hmm. about the lotus flower, as many of us know through culture and studies in history, I think about the lotus plant. And it is a survivor, you know, and it's a plant that enjoys life at every level, you know, the mental, the physical, and the spiritual. There's probably not no system or no culture you cannot go into that does not reference something about the lotus flower. And it really connects on a mental level, a physical level, a spiritual level. It just connects all around. So I would be the lotus.
That's good.
So what plant I would take with me? Boy, you guys have some amazing plants that you would take with you on your journey. And I'll have to say, for me, the one that I was going to take with me and still will, even though it may not be the best kind of smelling plant, it would be the garlic. It would be a garlic. I would take that with me. And just for healing, I like to cook with garlic for taste. If something happened, it can be used as an antiseptic. You know, I can digest it internally. I can do things with it externally. I would take a garlic. Plus, I can also use the cloves, and I can regrow it again as I continue to go on my travel. So I would be a lotus if I were a plant, and what plant I would take with me, if I could only take one, it would be the garlic. I would take garlic with me.
There you go. Sound like you've been listening to somebody that grow vegetables.
I've been listening to Mr. Anderson.
There you go.
YouGrow.biz, the official gardener for the remix, you guys. So many great shows. You know, I still go back and I listen to the shows, and just so much information that you've given us over the years and still continue to give us. I can't wait for your book to come out, because that's going to be amazing. And you just give it to us in just this really green magic way that we all can relate to it on all different levels, mental, physical, and spiritual. It's always a joy to have you here. And you guys, if you haven't gone over to igrowyougrow.biz, you need to do that immediately. Sunday night, you guys, it's going to be nothing but power and magic. You want to be back on Sunday night in the remix. We'll do a late show. And Mr. Anderson, peace and love to you. Much love, warm spirit. Peace and love to all of you guys. Don't forget to download, and go over to the remix page. If you like the show, like it. If you love it, I want you to love it over on Facebook. And connect with Mr. Anderson, too. When you go to his website, you can get his email. You can connect with his YouTube. You can connect with Facebook and all of those great ways. And just keep growing. And Mr. Anderson, I know you'll be back and definitely excited to hear about how everything goes with your workshop, upcoming workshop in Atlanta.
All right. Thank you very much. Fare ye well.
Fare ye well. Peace and love, you guys. Sunday night, we're going to be doing it up in the remix. You want to be in the house. Very powerful day, powerful, energetic day, as we continue to learn more about Origin, which we did do that tonight. Mr. Anderson is still here, so he really talked about Origin as we talked about the aura, everything around you, and the gen bringing out the genius in you, which is all about I grow, you grow, too, this philosophy, this new era that we're all moving ourselves into in so many different ways. Everyone's saying such a great show. They love it. When you come on, we learn so much from you. And so, you guys, don't forget to put it in the bag. The garlic in the bag. Get your elephant garlic. Take some pictures. Put it up on Facebook. Send them to Mr. Anderson. He loves to hear from you guys. And also have the pictures, too. And so, yeah, download, 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 everyone. And I'm going to go over to the Remix family page and the Remix show over on Facebook. And if you want to tell us what plant would you be and what plant you would take with us, do that as well so we can get those answers in. So until then, you guys, I'll see you guys Sunday night. Peace and love, everyone. Much love, warm spirit. We're going to get out of here tonight as we close out on the remix. Love you guys. Peace and love.